And let's turn now to the situation in Iraq. Officials there have been celebrating recent gains against militants calling themselves the Islamic State. But human rights advocates warn that things are still perilous for hundreds of thousands of displaced people in northern Iraq. Many of them are Yazidis, a persecuted religious minority, a large number of whom were killed by Islamic State militants. NPR's Peter Kenyon has the story of one Yazidi man who took his own life.
With so many dead, abducted, or displaced, the loss of one more Yazidi life from a self-inflicted gunshot wound might pass almost unnoticed these days. But friends and family of 33-year-old Naif Khalil Omar says his suicide is resonating within a community that sees a bleak future ahead. In a long white funeral tent in Dirabun, a collection of makeshift encampments lining the road to Syria, Omar's father, Khalil Omar Khalifa, sits with other family members and friends. They are from one of the Yazidi villages around Mount Sinjar that was terrorized by Islamic State fighters last month. As for why Omar committed suicide, some say the last straw came in the camp at Dirabun. He had survived the worst of the violence and had a job in the camp kitchen. But the World Food Program closed the kitchen and Omar was out of work. But his father says it was the senseless random killings, the abduction and abuse of women, and the terror-stricken flight up Mount Sinjar and then down again that caused something to snap in a once healthy young mind.
By the time we got here, he was psychologically hurt somehow. He didn't eat much. He stopped talking. It was just too much for him.
Khalifa says his son was fine back in the village. He was employed as an Iraqi border guard and enjoyed spending his spare time on the family farm. Another villager who knew Omar jumps into the conversation. Ibrahim Fundi Ibrahim is a 30-year veteran of the Iraqi army, and he blames Iraqi security forces who abandoned the village. That, he says, triggered the chaos and trauma that claimed Omar's life.
We left with nothing, just our lives. And when he came here, he sees the children crying. Every time the TV is on, people are being shot or beheaded. Now we're sitting in his funeral tent. This is like a 5-star hotel compared to where other people are. Look over there, people living under a truck. This isn't right.
Omar's father wants to return to the village, if it can be made safe. Many others, like Ibrahim, don't think it's possible.
Okay, maybe they'll take Sinjar back, but what about our women? They've been sold. They're in the Arab Gulf countries. They bought our women. Can you believe it? How can we stay here?
Ibrahim and other Yazidis call it genocide. Human rights advocates say the evidence points to war crimes. Donatella Rivera with Amnesty International says what happened to the Yazidis in the Sinjar region is ethnic cleansing of historic proportions. But as for the anecdotes about Islamic State fighters being modern-day slave traders, she treats those allegations cautiously, believing most are being held in Iraq.
We know where the overwhelming majority of the women who've been abducted are. There are communications, but some of them are missing. And those are the ones that obviously we're particularly concerned about. Certainly, the families are very concerned about the possibilities that these women and girls may be subjected to sexual abuse and to be forcibly married, for example, to fighters.
Rivera says, as far as they know, in most cases, that hasn't been confirmed yet. But the plight of these women remains dire. Some semblance of normal life can be found amid the lean-tos and blankets lining the streets here. In a concrete irrigation trough near the border, young boys splash about, striking goofy poses for passers-by. But Yazidi families wonder how many young people will bear lasting scars from what they've witnessed in the past few weeks. In a better world, Naif Khalil Omar would have received psychiatric as well as basic medical care. He might have decided that he did have a reason to live, perhaps for his wife and infant daughter, who were not among those taken by the Islamic State. But on a dusty roadside in the desert, where people sleep under trucks or do whatever it takes to get through another day, this young man who survived unthinkable horrors had no one to help him survive his own memories. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Northern Iraq.